Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. Good to chat again. And just real quick before we get going, last week the state of play about Ghost of Yote was shown. It was just a quick 20-minute overview, and it looks interesting. I think it seems like they're introducing a lot of new weapon types beyond just the katana, and you're using, it almost reminds me of Rise of the Ronin, which has also, I think, four sets of weapons. I haven't played it. I don't know if there was a demo for it, but Ghost of Tsushima was already gorgeous, and this looks even better. Number of years on, it makes some sense, and I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, it looks good. The state of play, it was really, it was a nice in-depth look at the game and some of the new mechanics. As you said, this new weaponry, she has some ranged weapons as well as close combat, where it was kind of cool that looks like in combat that you can switch between weapons
Yeah, it's like a
in
quick
combat
swap,
from
and you
like
have
a
certain
long
advantages
katana
versus
to
different
duels to
weapons.
To spears. Yeah,
Yeah,
it looks
almost.
good.
And I know you played Jedi Survivor. I haven't played it yet, but that introduces a lot of different weapon types as well. It almost feels like that, maybe.
Yeah, you get different stances and
Yeah,
different weapons in that one as well.
Can't wait.
Yeah, same. Can't wait for October. That's going to be a fun game.
And well, getting into Death Stranding, just a reminder, we do go into spoilers sometimes, and if you want to avoid that, start at one of our previous episodes, play along, and then come back to this one when you're caught up. So for this episode, I suppose a handful of almost bullet point style notes rather than lots of detailed information. So I'll just kind of randomly fire off things. The first one is that I got the email from the junk dealer about married life not being what he was hoping for, and then a little bit later get the email from the chiral artist saying that she left him and went back to her mom's house. After their super heartfelt reunion earlier, I'm wondering if that's where their story ends or if they get back together. Just such a random detail to have thrown in there.
I got those emails too. I was laughing at those. I found it the husband's one. He's like, "This is not what I expected it was going to be." And then when I was actually sitting with my wife when I got the one from the wife, went back and I called her, and we were just both laughing. It's wow, they couldn't sort it out, couldn't get it
Nope.
together with each other. Thought they loved really each other, wanted to be together. Holy, I'm
Same
sick of you
problems
already.
of today still exist in the far future apocalypse. And so I got another email too. So, of course, BBs serve a very valuable function in this world. But the fact that Bridges, the company organization, wants everyone to treat BBs as tools is kind of disgusting in a way. But I'm glad that that guy, Ben Hancock, who is he's from the very first area, the Far East area. Since the beginning, he keeps sending you messages about how much he cares about his BB. So it's definitely a bit of a through line. I think people that actually use the BBs end up getting some degree of attachment.
I got that email as well. It seems like, yeah, it's a BB. You're supposed to look at the tool, but as you said, when you've had it attached to you and you've been using it for however long, it kind of becomes like a son to you.
Right, and I'm assuming they're daughters as well, but it's hard. I'm not sure if it's only Sam that has this happen, but it seems like you share some degree of memories as well. So yeah, how do you not become attached to something like that? Another interesting thing I saw, so I don't know if it was in an interview file or in an email, but it turns out that Lochna and Malingen were both named after two craters in Sweden that were created supposedly right around the same time, and most likely from two pieces of the same greater asteroid that hit the Earth. So the whole conjoined twins idea, the fact that they were separated, has even more meaning now. There goes Kojima with his multiple layers below the surface.
I missed that interview. Don't know if I probably have it. I don't think I've read it yet.
Yeah,
But
so
that's
many of
a.
them come in, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, they do. But that's a cool little tad, like little tidbit of backstory between for them.
And great. And so episode six is focused on Deadman. It kicks off basically with Deadman showing up to your room. Your BB needs to be recalibrated or reset because it's become too attached to you. And so he's in your room. He's explaining these things. He's, I don't know if he was dirty or what it is, but he gets in your shower because it's the only place that your conversations aren't recorded. So you can't be heard or observed. And so he tells you what he's discovered about the first BB experiments. So it turns out the experiments caused the void out that killed the previous president, but they continued on with experiments based on direct orders of President Strand. She wanted to, in addition to using them as BT detectors, make them part of the chiral network to enable fast travel to the beach. They never finished that because of the void out, and the tech ended up with the terrorists. So Dead Man is not sure how long Die Hardman has been involved in the overall situation. He's the only one with access to the classified data, apparently, but Deadman might be able to find info as more detailed info as they reconnect the chiral network. It seems like there's a conspiracy in the works here. That's what I got out of the whole conversation. And actually, it wasn't President Strand. It was the former president that got killed in the void out. President Strand is the one that cut off the research.
Yeah, she's the one that, yeah, she cut off the research. She took over after the other former one passed away in that void out on Manhattan Island. Yeah, there seems to be some big conspiracy theory going on with Die Hardman seeing, yeah, he might be involved. Find out more. I know that there's definitely more to the whole BB story. And
there's absolutely, yeah, obviously the BTs, and who knows if we'll ever know what the Death Stranding was truly caused by and all that, but it seems to go much farther back. And it sounds like Die Hardman might be involved in one way or another.
Yeah, in one way or another. So it's, you know, it's like he, it seems like, yeah, he was, what was he to President Strand? Is he like, I forgot what his actual, was he like a secretary or was he just
I don't know if they
sort of right-hand man
it.
To?
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. So he's almost like the,
wouldn't be shocked if he's a right-hand man. Yeah, right-hand man or whatever, but it's like undercover, like not
slash
spy, but
for someone else.
Like kind of watching and maybe keeping an eye on everything, making sure stuff goes maybe the way he wants it or all that. So, yeah.
We'll definitely learn more. Higgs in the first place.
Maybe. That would be a twist.
You know.
Be interesting. But yeah, we'll definitely find out, I'm sure, in the coming episodes.
And he also mentions that there's a tar belt full of BTs essentially blocking your path to the west to Edgenot City. Uh-oh. Having gotten to where we are now, it sounds like we won't even be there in this chapter, episode 8 yet, but we'll have to go through there at some point to get to the end of the game. So there's that. Also, because Deadman needs to recalibrate your BB, we're completely without BB for the entire chapter. That was a bit nerve-wracking.
That was a new experience. To be honest, I didn't even think about it at first, and I don't have BB and kind of going along and then in a BT area, and I thought like, oh, I'll scan and I can see the BTs, and then realize no, never mind, it's BB that's locating them for me. I don't know why I thought my Audra deck would just scan and find one.
Nope.
But yeah, no, it definitely made it a little more nerve-wracking, and I will tell you, this one was, I was definitely way more stealthy for this episode, to get to the places that we had to go to.
Yeah, I think there were definitely a couple scenarios where you had to go through BT territory, and a lot of them you had to, but I basically just got on a trike and boosted on I just keep using a long range trike, boost the entire way, and when I see anything floating slightly upwards or like the sort of particles floating upwards, I just like immediately turn and they appear and start to chase you, but you just keep going. So I was able to fortunately eventually get really good at that and kind of avoiding them on my trike whenever there was rain. But before I got good at it, holy crap, I got grabbed off my trike going through the first sort of mountain up to the mountaineer and got dragged in first person super far. I think it was like a full minute of being dragged. It turned out it wasn't actually that far physically. And came up to 3 BT dogs attacking me and had to sprint away. And that was scary. I didn't think I was going to make it.
That doesn't sound like a fun time.
No, yeah.
Three BT dogs? Wow.
It might have been to the roboticist or something like that, but it was not. So I thought I had learned my lesson, but there's more on that later. The other thing, too, is that the required order recipients here in and of themselves don't really add a ton to the story. They're just something to pass the time while Deadman fixes your BB. And obviously the gameplay puts you through something more intense by not having your BB in the first place. But we're really just kind of on a side quest marathon here, disguised as a required orders main quest.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It definitely felt like just basically a big, long side quest of just going to some different people. But he just made it, as you said, since you just, it's just a wait out. It's just a wait out until Deadman is done with you resetting or recalibrating your BT. Oh, your BT, your BB. Sorry. That's how I felt. It felt like it was just a long side quest. Because, yeah, these people didn't really, as you said, add too much to the story wise. I mean, so what we have to go to a roboticist, a doctor, a mountaineer, a photographer, and a spiritualist. And
yeah, and just kind of bouncing between them all. Yeah, there was really not a lot added. It's nice to hear that you're helping out the community and whatnot. And, you know, that is kind of some of the essence of the game. But it was slightly disappointing to not advance a ton and really just be like, extending the network is good, but there wasn't a whole lot there.
It's like this was a filler episode. It's like of the TV show. It was a filler episode.
Very much a bottle episode filler episode. Yeah, they just trying to bide their time. And okay, yeah, I can accept it, you know, but we got some good details before at the beginning of the episode at the end. And yeah, so I you know, come to terms with that, but it was filler for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so the first one we had to go to was the roboticist. For me, it wasn't actually... I got kind of lucky in this whole area just overall from once putting on Mountain Knot City, like onto the network and everything. You get the first two orders, the roboticist and the doctor, together. I did the doctor first, which was very simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just whatever it was, delivering some medicine or whatever to anybody, something to the doctor. It was very close. I took a trike to up and over a little bit of a mountain area, like very small. And then I had a ladder with me. I threw a ladder down and then crossed over and dropped it off. And once I put him on the chiral network, so it all showed up and someone had built a bridge for me to cross.
Either the same bridge or someone else's same bridge.
Yeah. From then on, I was just able to literally just drive every time to the doctor. And then I go from Mountain Knot to the doctor. I think my fastest time was a minute and 15 seconds.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a quick
one. For some of the standard delivery, it was a quick one. That was a quick one. For me, though, the roboticist took a little bit longer. So I was lucky that someone had put a zip line right out front of Mountain Knot City. Hmm. And then someone had put a zip line on top of a mountain towards the roboticist. So I was able to go about, I don't know, maybe a quarter of the way up a mountain to get to that. But then I had to trudge down and trudge through. It's an abandoned looking city area. Huh. And that had all the BTs. I had to trudge and sneak through. Yeah. Yeah, I had to trudge and sneak through that. And as I said, I was definitely, without having BB, I was definitely more stealthy. I used a couple, I took a couple out with hermetic grenades, but otherwise I just kind of crouched. It was very slow going through the snow. Crouching. It took a while.
I know why too. Yep. Yeah. I actually hit into the roboticist. I took that path to and from the roboticist on the way to go pick up Mama in the last episode. So I'd already been through there, that BT area, and unlocked the all terrain skeleton that she gives you. So every time I went back to the roboticist now, it was super easy.
Once I got to her, God, getting that alter, I have not taken that off. That all-terrain skeleton. The all-terrain skeleton is so nice. It makes trudging through the snow, trudging through most things, so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, once I had actually got through her bosses and dropped everything off and put her back on the network, I myself had a PCC level 2 with me. And so I went up to the mountain. It's the mountain literally that if you go over the mountain, she's just below it. I went to the top of that and I was able to connect a zip line. So then I basically had a zip line all the way from Mountain Knot City to her, straight to her. So it made it, when I did some standard orders a little later, just easy to go back and forth between her and Mountain Knot City.
Yeah, I had been back and forth at least a couple times and just never took down my custom marker lines. So I had an Audredex scanning dashed lines all the way to her route, because I just have a route that I know goes around all the BTs, and I just basically drive up that in a long range strike every time.
Okay, yeah, that's not now. Yeah, now I know. I have those, which makes it. The zip lines are great. It makes it so much easier to transporting, going back and forth. But I had sort of marked away on my way back if I needed to, if I didn't need the zip lines to go around BTs. But once I put the network on and I was able to connect those zip lines, I was like, yep, that's how I'm doing it.
And
not
so
even gonna try and make it harder.
Something that I discovered on the way to the Mountaineer, I did see a zip line actually, now that you mentioned it, and I saw a zip line at the top of the thing and at the bottom, and I tried to use it, and it wasn't, I don't know if someone put it up wrong, but it wouldn't connect. So I was in a BT area though, and so apparently BTs, I went to a timefall shelter nearby there, and apparently BTs can get you in a timefall shelter. It's not, I mean, obviously it's not a building or indoors, so it kind of makes sense, but I was caught slightly off guard by that. I was grabbed by, I triggered tar puddles 3 times in a row and then shook them off and kept running, but finally got dragged again in first person and decided to just, it was only one BT dog this time, so I decided to just stand my ground and actually fight it. Someone had sent an email earlier saying if you shoot the gold mask, then you can actually do damage. So I was able to kill it after a bunch of hermetic rounds and grenades. And also, I don't know if you've had one of those, if you've actually fought one, but a bunch of weird sort of gray clay guys, like basically gray BTs, start throwing items at you, which was cool / weird. But it was actually pretty fun to fight off the dog. It kept jumping in the puddle and disappearing and popping up somewhere else and all that.
Wait, when you say they throw like useful items or just
no, yeah, like blood bags and guns, and don't know where they're getting them from because they're BTs. I think they had other online users' names attached to them, so I guess they're just finding other people's items and giving them to you. But it worked out because I needed a reload at some point, so it helped me finish it off.
Nice. You've had way more experience with BTs. I will tell you, for me, this episode was not, for BT-wise, was not the most exciting. I was able
just,
to
I mean, it's just trying sneak. To stealth them.
Yeah.
And stealthing, honestly, yeah, is the better approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I will say, so for the Mountaineer, for my mind to go to the Mountaineer, yeah, we had to take the antibiotics to the Mountaineer for his wife, who's pregnant. And for me, I noticed we go over, yeah, just from Mountain City, you go over, you go into a BT area. But as I said, I also noticed up a hill from me, like to my right, I went up a hill and went to the right, there was a zip line up there as well. But mine was then connected across towards the Mountaineer.
That's like the hill I was unable to. Well, that's cool.
No, not that far. Someone had just put one on a ridge that's closer. I was able to take that zip line to another one that was pretty close to the Mountaineer, but I still had to like just trudge up like the little mountain, like his like sort of mountain area entrance towards him.
Yeah, I just ride a trike. I have another custom marker line up through that valley in between those two ridges that you're talking about where your zip line connects. So I just drove up and then cut over in like a complete 7 type shape and I cut over to the Mountaineer.
Okay. Yeah. Once I got to the Mountaineer, dropped off the antibiotics, as I said, for his pregnant wife, you learn that fortunately they're not massively helpful and you have to go back and pick up like a specific medical device from the doctor and bring it back.
Yeah.
I think it's a time limit. I think it was a time limit one, right? I think it was within 30
it was a
or 60
minute
minutes.
One. It was 60
yeah,
minutes.
60 yeah, 60 minute one.
You had to go Mountaineer to the doctor and then back to the Mountaineer. Yep.
And back to the Mountaineer. So
I flew there, I think, in 5 minutes, grabbed the thing, and was back in another 5. I think I finished it in 13 minutes because I didn't stop.
Yeah,
anything.
I finished. Yeah, neither did I. When I got out of the Mountaineer, like, oh no. So never mind. You don't put him on the Cuddle Network at that point. I got back. Yeah, I got back. I think someone had actually left like a bike or a truck, if I remember really. It was one of those like close to like the Mountaineer's entrance. So I just took that back to the nearest zip line. and then grabbed the zip line, as you said, just went straight to the doctor and then came straight back. I think, yeah, I did mine in 10 minutes, 13 minutes, somewhere around the exact same time. But after we dropped that off and the doctor helps out and like is able to like help her out and save her and save the child and everything, once you put him on the Kyle network, I went outside and literally like just outside, just right past where the boundary is for the network, for like his area, right outside, I built another zip line. So then I connected him. So I had three. So that so it would take me literally right to his front entrance.
Solid.
Literally just, yeah. So this is like, this for me was a zip line chapter. I only had to build like one zip line. Like other people had built them. I just had to build one to basically sort of finish it or make the route a bit easier. And then I was golden. So yeah,
take advantage where you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was just riding trikes around the whole time, long range trikes. Do you ever fabricate vehicles? I found that I haven't fabricated one since maybe the first chance that you have to make one in the second or third episode where you have to make a trike. I just pull online ones out of the garage because they take too many materials to build that could be pumped into roads.
Yeah, the same. I just pull them out of the online garage. And usually what I'll do is I'll use them. And I try, obviously, my best not to get them destroyed, yeah, like, right, for their durability or, like, lose right. them over, like, in a river or something. I try and do all in time.
Occasionally it happens. There are some places that seem to be, like, vehicle graveyards, though. You know, trikes and trucks just sitting around rotting.
There are. I've not in this mountain area. There have been many times I've just driven past and like just there's like three abandoned trikes or there's like two trucks over here. And I was like, okay.
I found a truck like basically halfway up a cliff that there was no way it was getting out. And so that was funny to see.
Yeah, but you're right. I just basically take them out of the garage and then I save them. And every time now on the online garage, I usually have it's like two trucks and one or two bikes or three right. trucks and one. But I haven't fabricated one in a while.
Yeah, I mean, neither.
Or as I said, like if I have to walk somewhere and then someone has like a truck or what's it, I'll just grab that and then I'll try and take it back with me to right, repair and throw in my garage. Yeah, so then I'm just kind of stacking them. I mean, I only have like, I think I have three in my garage itself. I think I have I grabbed somebody's long range truck, a long range trike, and then just a regular truck. So just some different types.
And so on the way to the photographer for the first time, I passed time under a timefall shelter. I had done it multiple times before, but nothing happened. And for the first time, it actually made the rain go away. That was really helpful because it was in a BT territory and I didn't want to deal with it at the time. And so, you know, obviously you get the order from the photographer. You have to recover her dad's camera from the mule camp nearby. And I hadn't really tried it in this type of stealth sense before, but basically I snuck up on a cliff to the right of their mule camp. They had pinged me and knew that I was there. So I just kept going and got to a cliffside and I used the sticky gun on the guy who had the camera down below, who was just wandering alone by himself for whatever reason. And so I was super stoked because my stealth plan was going great. I had the camera. They hadn't really seen me. They pinged me, but hadn't seen me. And so I was able to get it from far away. Didn't I need to sneak up on them. So I went on my merry way. I had realized, though, that I recycled my one ladder to craft that sticky gun in the first place to get the materials. So I couldn't use the ladder. I had to climb up higher and bail out of there faster. I had to go all the way around. And I couldn't go backwards because that's where they were coming. And so the camera guy ended up chasing me. Started shooting at me. I bullet-gunned him, and then everyone else found me. And so I just literally sprinted up the hill, went super high up into the mountain, and then rode the snowboard back down to the photographer. That was a fun time, though.
That's an exciting experience. Mine was more. I definitely it was sort of more like a Sam Wick, but not fully. I was also way more stealthy. I will say though, on my way to the photographer. So crossing that river to go back across the river, like to get towards her, it's a big river and I didn't have anything. Later on, I have like someone's built a bridge now. Actually, later on now I've built the road all the way down the mountain. But before that, when I actually had to take this photograph to her, I was scanning the river again, trying to find the way where I originally came. go across the river and then down through the sort of BT area. And I got off the trike. I got there and my trike was kind of almost dead, but not fully. But I knew I was in a sort of BT area, and I went to go collect some chiral crystals, because I was just, it was a big hand. I was like, okay, I'll just like collect these. And as I was walking towards it, all of a sudden it prompts me, cut umbilical cord. And I was like, what? So I just pressed the button and I sliced the umbilical cord of one of the BTs. And then I got the achievement. There's an achievement for doing it.
Yeah.
But I had no idea they were there. I didn't know. I knew that I was in a sort of BT area, but I didn't know if it was right there. I was just sort of walking up, and then all of a sudden they gave me the prompt on the screen, and I was like, oh,
did
shit.
That immediately okay. make
yep. Yep.
Send a tingle down your spine.
I just, yeah, pressed square, cut the umbilical cord, and got the trophy. And I was like, sweet. Then grabbed the chiral crystals and just ran back to the trike and made my way to the photographer to drop off the photograph. But yeah, once I dropped that off, when I had to go get the camera, I think from her, I took a standard order and I went to the distribution center down there and dropped something off, and then kind of rested up for a second just to rest myself, and then made my way out. I don't think I had a bola gun on me at the time. I think I had actually stored one there. So I got like two bola guns out, and I also had a non-lethal assault rifle on me. So I was like, I'll just keep that just in case. And I took the trike. The trike was still alive for me. I was able to, that's why I stopped at the distribution centers to repair the trike and then also like have it fully charged. So I took the trike into the camp area. And I sort of stealthed around, like I got pinged. The first ping I wasn't able to like block. Like you can block it if you time it right. But I wasn't able to block one. So I had a few people come at me. I bola gunned a couple and then moved. And then I had another guy who tried to look for me but couldn't. And so I snuck up behind him with the strand and strangled him from behind. And then just hidden sort of, there was like a tall guy. I was more to the right of like their main camp area. It's quite a big area where these
it's huge.
Like mules/terrorists are. So I was able to just sneak through some of the tall grass. I took a couple more out with the bola gun. I then actually ended up taking a couple out with the non-lethal assault rifle, which what you do when you take them out, it literally just after three or four rounds, maybe five rounds, it drops them and they're unconscious.
Yeah.
So I was able to do that. And then once I snuck around into the camp area, and when I was in the camp area, I was able to more just use the strand and strangle like from behind a few people, sneak up on a few people, because I was trying not to use more blood bags or ammo. And then, yeah, made my way down to the camera guy. The camera guy, actually, I got lucky because I thought he had seen me, but he hadn't. I was able to sneak, and he was starting to look in the post box. Again, I was able to sneak behind him and take him out. And then there's just like a couple more. One of them, I guess, saw me and I didn't even know he was there. And he ran to, they have like a mounted machine gun.
Oh,
and he ran
to
it. Yeah, he ran to it. Uh-oh. So I took out my non-lethal assault rifle and just started shooting him. Knocked him out before he could luckily start it up. Because if he hits me with that, I'm done. Because I was in the middle of the open.
That's not gonna
die. I have no way to go. So I took him out, and then after I took him out, I took out one more, kind of going back towards my trike. And when I got, once I took him out, it gave me a message of when mule camps are cleared, it allows porters to get through easily. I was like, oh.
Yeah
I've you have taken everybody out.
I was like,
yeah. Oh, I did not realize I had taken everybody out. I kind of just stealthed and made my way through and took out some people more aggressively. But yeah, I didn't think I had taken everybody out, but I had. Yeah, I got the camera off the guy, and then just ran back to my trike, and then went up to the photographer to drop it off.
Nice. And yeah, and so from the photographer, you end up finding out you have to go back to the mountaineer to even pick up your next order. And so I didn't want to drive all the way back, so I built a online safe house for myself, because I didn't want to take, there was another one nearby, but I didn't want to take it because you had mentioned before that you lose all your gear in a private locker there if the safe house like desyncs from your instance of the game, because it's someone else's safe house. So I built my own and fast traveled over to the mountaineer, because I knew there was an online safe house over there already. And so then he sends you off to the spiritualist, and it's really just kind of across the ridge up through the hill. And, you know, the mountaineer sends an email with the, after you leave his place, sends an email with the subject line of watch out for the whiteout. But of course I took a trike over there. So I was already deep in the whiteout when I got the email. No shit, guy. This is clearly where I am right now.
Did you actually, at the photographer, did you do the order that she had? Where to go find the...
No, I was trying to power through the required ones in this.
Oh, okay. I went and just quickly did... I think it was an order of just finding... They're like cave... I don't know if they're cave paintings. They're parts of some of the stuff like her dad had done. So I went and did that. It wasn't very hard. They were just not very far away. I drove a truck over to where it was. But what was unique is that one of the cases is on, there's two cases you have to pick up. One of the cases was on the edge of a riverbank, but the other one was floating down the river. And it's a river that it doesn't, it's not red in the middle, but it's all like, it's blue and yellow.
Yeah.
So it is going. So this is the time where, yeah, I had the otter hood on.
Nice.
And I was able to, like, I drove ahead of the package because it was, yeah, it was coming obviously downstream, downriver. Uh-huh. So I drove ahead of it. And then as it was getting closer, like walked out into the water and was just holding my balance. But yeah, your stamina doesn't go nearly down as fast. And then once it just kind of, yeah, once it got to me, I just grabbed it, threw it on my back, walked out, grabbed the truck, and then just drove back. It was pretty simple. That's why it wasn't too far. That's why I just decided to do it.
Yeah, I mean, on my
end, it was more of like you did it and she was like, thank you for bringing it all back. I really appreciate it. It wasn't too much to it.
Nothing monumental. Yeah, because the required orders were essentially just glorified side orders, and this one I had gotten my side order fill through the main quest and decided to just move on. And yeah. So, you know, it as you finish up with the spiritualists, you get a call from Dead Man, who's at a cabin. He said, you know the cabin? I was like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. I haven't seen a cabin on a hill, but it's very somewhat close to you.
Yeah, before you get to that, how was your trek to the spiritualist?
Oh, I just triked it. I had already, like, because that guy sent the message about the whiteout. He mentioned the whiteout after I was, like, almost there, basically. And I just took a trike. I mean, most of the time, if I take a look, because you can wiggle the right stick back and forth and see kind of the degree of how much the terrain is in your way. And so I basically just, I always plot, if I have a defined destination, I go into the map. I use the, you know, hold square and drag to create a line. And so I just create a bunch of lines to get from where I am to where I'm going. And then I adjust, obviously, along the way, but you can keep just pinging your Andra deck. And so I was already doing that and was almost there, basically. So it was pretty simple. I mean, I just drove and the line just guided me the whole way.
Okay. Yeah, this one for me, so I didn't have a trike. I walked. And it took quite a lot longer. So I had as I said earlier, I had a zip line just outside the mountaineer. And then someone had put one up on the mountain towards the spiritualist, like going towards that way. So I zipped up to that with all the stuff. And again, you're carrying like semi-heavy stuff, not mass, but pretty heavy. So I ziplined down to that and then kept walking. I thought, oh, I think I'm not too far. And then I'm walking, trudging through the snow, and then I go into the map and realize, crap, actually, I got a long-ass way to go. Yeah. And luckily, I had before, like, I had given myself, like, two or three ladders, some climbing anchors, and other stuff. And so I basically, as you, like you did, but you had a trike, I just walked the whole thing, but was kept hitting my Audra deck because it was such a whiteout to, like, make sure I had done my route myself, like as you said. I had planned out a route like where I could go. But I kept hitting the Audra deck and I was getting up to points where, cause you have to cross, like climb over some tall hills, like some tall mountainous peaks. And I was just like, I would kind of try and find the part where it wasn't as much rock, but more just snow. And so just slowly trudge up it and then go down. And one of them, I got to basically a cliff face. And I was like, I'm very glad, and I had a ladder, luckily. As I said, I had a couple ladders. I took out a ladder, and I was able to climb up, like, all the way to the top of it and go off and then go down. And I think at that point, that was, like, it was the one just before, like, the mountain peak, just before going down towards the spiritualist.
As you went above her and came down, yeah, I kind of just drove up right next to it.
Yeah, no, I took a... Yeah, obviously after I got to her, there's definitely an easier route. But yeah, there's definitely an easier route from like the side of getting to her than I went straight like mountaineer. Like it was just a long trudge, but it said, and with the whiteout,
inspired by the mountaineer, it's all good.
Yeah, I couldn't see anything, but that's why I just kept scanning and scanning to make sure, like, okay, am I sort of going the right path? Like, as like they do in the river where it's blue, yellow, red, they do it for peaks to tell you how steep it is. And so I was just trying to go more blue and yellow and avoid. But the one red I had, luckily I had the ladder and I was able to just climb up all over the peak. And then, drop off the spiritualist and then get a call from Dead Man.
And on to Dead Man, you go through, you reach his cabin. He gets pulled up Wizard of Oz style, just like the last time. And then, I don't know, it didn't show you getting picked up, but it basically just shows Dead Man from then on. So the intro cutscene to episode 7 has Dead Man also thrust into the Supercell dimension, but now it's World War II instead of World War I. And I had heavy deja vu, and then I realized pretty quickly that I had actually seen it before, because that specific cutscene was used as one of the main trailers promoting the game many years ago before it released. And it's an awesome cutscene. Great use for a trailer. Yeah, it was as great, well, and
no, it was a great cutscene for the start of episode 7.
I mean, seeing the tanks roll by and realizing, okay, we're in a different time, and then seeing the skeleton troops walk behind it marching was awesome.
It was really cool. It was a really good cutscene. It was cool to see, like, you could see, like, Dead Man was, like, pretty, like, terrified, like, where am I? And then, and like, the tar starts coming around his feet, and he's like, where am I going to go? And he just grabs a BB and just goes down into the sewer.
And this whole section, right, it's, of course, you get a bit of wandering through the sewers. Mostly there wasn't much activity in there, but then you come up with Dead Man, he gives you your BB back, and you realize, okay, Dead Man, you were lecturing me on not getting attached to a BB, and now you're attached. And from then you end up going into a fairly standard kind of boss plus minions boss fight, and in a semi-enclosed area, fairly straightforward but a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's very similar to chapter 4. As you said, starting off, you start off in the battlefield. This one was actually, the first one, chapter 4, was a little more difficult to get to the part where then you face, as you said, where you face Unger and his minions. This one was a bit easier because there's a whole bunch of cover, so I just sprinted and slid, since you also don't have much of your stuff, and like into covers the way and into getting to the sewer. Things. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and then you get into the sewer, and as you said, that's where we meet up with Dead Man. You get BB back, and then...
And Dead Man tells you that the Deader is only companion since he has no family or friends. Man, what a sad existence.
Yeah. And then he said, take on Unger. I barely took any damage from this one. This one was actually easier for me. I was able to find a way where I was kind of high up. I went into, like, a... I don't know if it was a blown-out church or whatever
building,
it was.
The blown-out building. Yeah. I did a similar thing. I fought them head-on because they were pretty close to the place you come out of the sewer for the first round, but then there was, I think, maybe 3 or 4 waves of attacks, and I ended up finding hermetic grenades and just chucking hermetic grenades, and they were funneling through a doorway, so it, like, destroyed them pretty quick.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was also switching between the hermetic rounds of the rifles or shotguns and then just regular rounds.
There was one point where I took out his 4... minions, and then he was just standing in the doorway, and he didn't see me kind of disappear, so I snuck up behind him with a shotgun and just blasted him.
But as I said, this is very similar for, and then at the end of this one you walk up to him and you have a bit of a tussle, like it's a bit of a scrap, like he kind of grabs onto you, but then you end up grabbing his dog tags off of him.
And he was able to get Unger's dog tag back from that beach, which was something I don't think typically happens except with cargo, at least in the one time we've seen it happen before. So that's cool. And you end up learning he's Clifford Unger. He's U.S. Army Special Forces. But then you end up finding out he was never even in that area of World War II to begin with. So what?
No, he was much, much later on. Yeah, he was not anywhere in that area. When it took his dog tags, like, I for a split second, I thought he dropped to the down, or dropped down to the ground and died. But I don't think he's not dead. I think
he can't be dead.
Knocked him.
He can't be dead.
No, I think he just knocked him out or made him weak. And then, yeah, you go back. So,
for sure. And then, yeah, okay, so moving on from there, right, I think, you know, number one, you have a little bit of a wrap-up with Deadman. Holy shit, Sam's backstory is so sad. His wife died while she was pregnant, and he couldn't get to her in time, so the Void Out destroyed the whole town they were in. Everyone blamed Bridges, and he blamed himself and left, and that's why, you know, he had the whole weird reunion with his mom eventually and all that. And it's, yeah. And then also you find out the real reason that Deadman is 70% parts like Frankenstein's monster is, which is just what you said, he was created from stem cells. Earlier. Created from stem cells, he had defective organs, replaced those with parts from the dead, so he called himself a soulless meat puppet. He has no beach and just wants to be a part of a society, and so he's really happy that you've connected with him.
Yeah, he is. It was a nice little ending. Sort to episode, well, not ending. I wouldn't say ending. It was a nice cutscene of episode 7. It's not quite actually the end of episode 7. With him to learn, more about his backstory as well as Sam's backstory. And as you said, Sam's is quite sad. And then you learn that they were going to call the baby Lou. And so now he calls the BB attached to him Lou, as in reference to his son, which is quite nice. It's a nice change. It's a nice little ode to his passed away son and wife. When I came back and I left the private
room
locker, the private room, and I went to the private locker. It said all your stuff was in there, and I'm like, where is my stuff?
Right.
And it took me a second, and then I realized it was kind of hard to see, but it says on it,
if you have a bunch of stuff, it collapses it. You have to hit R2 to open up.
It collapses it. And I didn't, it took me like a little bit to, I was like, where is all my stuff? It's supposed to be here. And I started to Google it. That
same reaction when I first discovered that a few episodes ago. It was, it's a weird way to do it because they don't make it obvious enough that your stuff is auto-collapsed.
It says R2 to uncollapse it. It's kind of, it's the same color and it blends in.
Yeah.
So I could not read it against the background.
Yeah.
And then once I did sort of see it, I got it and got all my stuff out. And
there's a lesson in UI right there. But
the other thing, sure, that real quick,
that Deadman mentions before he leaves you is that the Die Hard Man issue is no longer a concern. It's basically just I think the conspiracy is still there, but the issue in terms of him listening in is not a concern, and the conversations aren't going to be recorded. So Deadman figured out a way to make that not happen. And also coming out of that, you mentioned leaving the private room, going to the private locker. I'm starting to wonder how out of chronological order all those Unger flashbacks are. Because the one that I got here was a soldier coming into his room and seeing and realizing, oh, I didn't know you were the husband. And obviously that was before whatever happened, because there was one previously where people were breaking in. I don't know, but I'm curious I would like to at some point go on YouTube at the end of this game and watch them all in chronological order and see if there's anything hidden in there.
Yeah, because as I said, I got that one with whoever, the guy who walks in and says, oh, you were the father, like, didn't know. He obviously knows them, like they're friends or buddies or maybe soldiers together.
I think that's what it was.
But I then got, the timefall, the rain in my eye, the timefall in his eye one. I've got twice since then. It gives you like random ones at a time. So I'll do the same where I can just watch them just in the chronological order of how they should go once we finish the game and then really get the puzzle. Cause it doesn't make sense of getting, I got the one where he's trying to escape and he gets shot at.
Yeah.
With baby. And then all of a sudden now I'm back at getting ones where like he comes in, hey, sorry, I was gone. I got time fall on my... So.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out at some point. And okay, so leaving there, I did do really quick the pick up Dead Man's oversized coat thing, which was whatever.
But then I did it too.
you end up having to go on to Hartman's lab, which is deep in the mountains. And so what I did was actually I took a bike and tried to go past the doctor's place because it seemed like a reasonable route. And then you hit a, that's where I found a truck so far up a cliff that there was no way ever anyone was ever going to get it out. But I tried climbing someone's ladder and the drop off point from the ladder was on a too steep part of the hill. So I fell down that waterfall and died twice. Didn't want to deal with the whole repatriation thing. So I just reloaded my save those two times. And then I was like, okay, there's got to be another way up here. So I went up a completely different route up through just a snowy mountain and pretty much just drove the whole way without even having to stop.
Oh, mine was, I had, again, for me, this was a zipline episode.
Ziplines.
I had a zipline everywhere. I had a zipline from Mountain Knot City. So I had Mama on my back, ziplined up a slight mountain toward the roboticist. And then someone had put one, which actually in the next chapter I need to move because I have two like zip. I have a zipline right outside Mountain Knot City. And then I have a zipline. Someone put a zipline by the doctor. Mm-hmm. And then someone put the zipline like right literally at the top of the hill. So that then all I have to do is walk down the hill to go to Hartman's lab. But where they've put it at the top of the hill, it needs to be moved to the left, like 4 feet,
little bit
5 feet
to reconnect it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because then I can just take the one straight from Mountain Knot City straight to it instead of having to go to like a separate one and then to it. So what I think I'm going to do once I get back in playing is I'll probably dismantle it and then build one of my own
out
just so then it's in line completely.
See, I need to get onto your server because you have all these roads popping up and everything else.
Yeah, I got lucky. As I said, yeah, I did build like 3 or 4 roads this one, but I had some other people who just built roads for me. Like I have almost, I'm missing like 2 roads from basically Mountain Knot City down towards the weather station, like through the mountain there.
I didn't build most of those. Because I only have one kind of around the corner from behind on the cliff up behind Mountain Knot City. I have one not connected, but farther, like one that basically passes where Dead Man's Coat was. And that's it. No long stretch of anything. Even though I keep pumping in materials myself, nobody finishes them off.
No, very annoying. That's yeah. Then I have roads from Mountain Knot City all the way down to, not like just down the mountain towards like the edge of where that edge of the terrorist camp was, terrorist mule camp was. So that's quite nice. But I don't know now if I'm ever going to use it again. Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe we'll go back.
No, I guess we'll there's see. A chance. Arriving at Hartman's, you know, my first reaction was, damn, this guy has some swanky accommodations. You know, it's like a cliffside cabin, super luxurious with fireplace, a giant fireplace in the entrance and nice big windows, everything. And you walk in his room and it says until resuscitation, remaining time. So my first thought was, okay, is Hartman a vampire? And no, I mean, I had realized obviously that in all of his holograms, he's got the AED attached to him at all times. So I figured there was something related to getting shocked back to life. And, you know, he goes into a lot more detail about it. But it was a nice long stretch of cutscene as the preview to episode 8 here.
Yeah, it was. It never even occurred to me. And now it really is occurring to me that, obviously, he's called Hartman. Then there's Dead Man. Then there's like
all the names,
whatever their
have
first
a very
part,
specific
part about
like is Die Hard Man.
Yeah,
has he
Die Hard Man? Yeah.
He can't die. Is he immortal in some way or partially, or is he just Bruce Willis?
Obviously, everything
hard.
it also, as you said. When you saw Hartman in the Hollows, never even occurred to me, and I don't know why. I think I just wasn't looking that close. So that was a defibrillator on his chest, like a
defibrillator.
AED.
Yeah,
I thought it was just like a bag he had slung over his front.
No, yeah, I noticed it like somewhat recently, but before arriving to his place, yeah,
it was an interesting, little cut. Yeah, when it came in, as you said, it said like 2 minutes till resuscitation. I was like, is he dead? Like, what is happening right now? Like, he's coming back? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, no, he's just looking for his family lost in the beach.
Lost on the beach, yeah. It was
yet another heartbreaking story in the world of Death Stranding.
It was. It was quite a heartbreaking story. But then that's where, yeah, that's where it ends. And then we're now on to episode 8.
And I think the couple sort of funny details that I caught at the very end of that cutscene, which is right, the preview for this, since you couldn't pause or stop or save. So he has the air mat floor. So when Hartman has his cardiac arrest and he's not sitting, obviously when he muted, the second he muted the timer voice, I was thinking, okay, he's not going to make it to his chair on time. And so when that happens, I was thinking, you know, he collapses and lands on the air mat floor and Die Hard Man tells you, oh, he's all good. And then Sam starts walking away and I was just thinking, oh no, he didn't flip the hourglass the way that he very specifically zooms in on the hourglass every time Hartman's about to go in or out of his cardiac arrest. And then it was like Sam heard me because he then turned around right then and then flipped it for him.
Yeah, that was a little, that was just a funny
funny moment. And then there's another one right after
funny moment.
Because as he's walking out, he stops at the record player to just scratch the DJ, like a DJ for 2 seconds. Such a goofy, funny moment. And you actually get docked 20 likes from Hartman too.
Yeah, you get docked 20 likes for it. But then as you're like, he's walking out, then it like goes, pans over Hartman and he has like, he went to cardiac arrest, but with a thumbs up. And so you get 20 likes right back.
Yeah, the meta fourth wall breaking, looking at the camera to thumbs up happens many times in this scene, and it's a good bit of comic relief.
Yeah, it was.
So yeah, excited for episode 8. I think my parting thoughts on the end of this episode here is I'm starting to think that we're going to get through this entire game without once having one of us come across each other's structures or ladders or anything else, which is...
Yeah. All I feel right, like that way too. I keep looking to see like the name on stuff sometimes when I pass, like, oh, whose is it? Like
I keep looking at it and like there's a lot you can actually in a menu you can look at a long list of everyone you've encountered things from. And it must be that we're on separate servers because if it's just one big global thing, I would have expected to see because we're playing at the same time. Everything's kind of fresh. So there's still a bit more game left to play and maybe it does happen, but you know, if not, at least we're having this conversation.
Yeah, we are. Said that it is nice though that you get all the online, like all the people, and that you can see all their structures. It's a very cool, unique, different thing from any game I've ever played, but it's super helpful and really nice. And it's definitely nice when people are actually helpful. Like it seems like they're actually helpful and they actually build useful structures. Like
right,
they,
for the most part,
they encounter the same issues that you are.
Yeah. There are occasionally misguided or misplaced zip lines and other things and ladders, but that lead you to your death. But aside from that, most people are trying to be helpful. So it's a good, yeah,
no, they
good,
are trying
and
to
the
be
liking
helpful.
System to show your support, whether they see, you know, you get the, when you log back in after not playing for a bit, that you get your list of updates of who liked your or used your structures or liked your structures. Obviously doesn't tell you exactly which specific one. I'm always a little bit curious about which specific thing that I place that you're actually using, but whatever.
I get quite a few of like players who've used a road you've rebuilt. I get some of those.
Yes, I've gotten a lot of the road rebuilds for sure.
Yeah. I've noticed like, because I was really looking at the likes when Hartman was giving them to you. And then when you're sitting in the room and you kind of zoom in on things and you get likes for each thing, I'm almost at 200,000 likes.
Solid.
Yeah. So I'm just curious on like what
there's gotta be a
just what happens at 200,000. Like, is do I get some boot? Like, yeah. I'm just curious on if it does something or
yeah. Well, more to come. Episode 8 is supposedly a reasonable length all on its own, so we'll focus on just this episode about Hartman this week. There are 5 required orders here. They apparently are much longer considering it's a smaller quantity than we just went through, but let's just focus on completing orders 58 through 62 in episode 8. Keep on keeping on and catch you next week.
Yep, enjoy episode 8. Thanks, everyone. If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of Death Stranding and any future games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name. Thanks.